as the family tonight. Let's go ahead and welcome Danielle while she go ahead and listen.
Good evening. Oh, this is so weird. I don't have the microphone in my hand. I grabbed water because that's what everybody else did. So I'm like, I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. All right. Let's go ahead and pray one time. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you that you allow us to come to your throne, Lord, that we are able to glean from you, and also, Lord, that you desire to hear from us. I pray that you would guide my words, Lord, that they would be yours and yours only, that you would soften our hearts to be able to receive, and that we would follow the direction that you're calling to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, a couple months ago, actually, this theme of the cities of refuge has been kind of playing out in my mind, and been kind of writing notes and just different things. And then when I was asked, you know, if the Lord had anything for me to share, I'm like, oh, no, not really. And God's like, oh, yeah, I do have something. And so I just pray that this is something that also blesses you. And so I'm going to start in Judges 20. And it says, and then the Lord said to Joshua, say to the people Israel, appoint the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of that city. Then they shall take him into the city and give him a place, and he shall remain with them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, then they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hate him in the past. And he shall remain in that city until he stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of him who is high priest at the time. Then the manslayer may return to his own town and his own home, to the town from which he fled. In verse 7, they says, so they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country, and Shechem in the hill country. I'm skipping some of these words because I don't know how to pronounce those. And Hebron in the hill country of Judah, and beyond the Jordan east of Jericho. They had appointed Bezer in wilderness of the tableland from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in the Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities designated for all the people of Israel and for the stranger sojourning among them, and that anyone who killed a person without intent could flee there, so that he might not die by the hand of the avenger of blood till he stood before the congregation. Now, you kind of hear that, and you're like, that is a lot of information in just that one section there. And, you know, it's thankfully there was places for safety for those who were being accused of something they didn't commit. Now, the elders got to decide if that was true or not. I don't know about Steve and Joel and Jeff would appreciate that job, being like, are you a murderer or not? We'll decide that. But, you know, that was one of their responsibilities in these cities. And so also there was the Avenger of Blood. Now, I personally think that that sounds a little like a comic book character. Could you show that slide up there for me? See, this is kind of what comes to mind. So this over on the left, okay, he has an axe. That would be terrifying, somebody coming after you. I don't know if it really played out like that. I don't think they had those, you know, police uniforms yet. But you know, there was somebody who was the Avenger of Blood. We have the City of Refuge, and then we also have the person that is being accused. Now, what I like about the gospel is that God doesn't just give us information for no reason. He always adds another layer to things. And so these different cities I looked into their meaning. And what I found is that God puts, I don't know if any of you heard of like Easter eggs in movies where they kind of like foreshadow different parts, and they'll show these different information to be able to give a kind of reflection of what's going to happen in the future. And so if you wouldn't mind pulling up that picture, now all the slides are at the beginning and then you're just going to have to look at me, of Sandro Botticelli. He was a Renaissance painter. And this is called The Admiration of the Magi. So what was kind of, this gentleman here is actually the artist. He he painted his own picture in there. I'm like, you are not there. But what I found funny is after I was looking at Jesus, is like, I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, I was in that picture. You know, you see Jesus there. So I'm like, he did it to me twice. Not only did he show himself in these scriptures in this Old Testament, he showed it in the picture too. So I got double of God going, I got you again. But what the whole point is of this is that there is so much more meaning than what we realize God gives in his old, in the Old Testament. And so if you could bring up the Israel picture, please. And I'm just throwing it at them. So these you can kind of see are the different cities. So it was pretty far-reaching. So there, it wasn't just like if you're in the south, you're just in trouble, or if you're in the north, or, you know, there, it was spread out. But with the cities, I'm going to kind of jump into those. I'm going to go into Kadesh is the name of one of the cities, and it's the meaning of it is holy place, and I just thought it was neat that God showed himself as the holy place in scripture as well. Jesus became, I'm going to read Hebrews 9:12. There's going to be a lot of scripture, so if you want to follow along, you can. Some of this is going to be informational at the beginning. But Jesus became the sacrifice where he entered once and for all into the holy places, securing an eternal redemption with his own blood. Hebrews 9:12. And then also in Revelation 21:22, it says, and I saw no temple in the city, for it's the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. So already, just in one of the names of the cities, God is showing that he is there in that scripture and in that city. So there were six of them. So we're going to continue on. Shechem is strong shoulders, is the interpretation. Now, I try to do as much research as I can. I got my Strongs out. I'm like, I'm going to find out what these names are. And sometimes it's funny because it's like, are you like, that's it, God. Like, I'm not reading into this, right? And it was like the correlation that he keeps bringing forward. So Shechem is, and the verse that I found, felt God led for that was Psalm 55:22. It says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. And I noticed the righteous was a theme in this as well. Because when we talked about the person that was accused, they were innocent. Now, we are, as believers, not, we are seen as the innocent righteous now. But before, we were sinners. But this was showing, this keeps showing to encourage the righteous. So, and then we follow into Hebron, is in one of the cities, is fellowship. And so this one's a little bit longer, but says, I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in him in speech and all knowledge, even as a testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you waited for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I am thankful that we are guiltless in the day of our Lord. Because could you imagine being accused of something and you have that fear, like back in that time, you know, if you did something wrong, you were going to pay for it a way that most of us don't have to pay for things. You might lose a limb. You might lose an eye. You might lose your life. And could to have to flee from your country into from your place to flee and hope that they see your side of the story and that you can find safety in there. And yet, as Christians, we know that the stuff that we've done, but because of the grace of God, he has given us that covering and that we are guiltless in that day. So that was a neat one. In Bezer, I'm not really sure how to pronounce that one. If anybody knows, shout them out. I'm good with that. It was called the place of refuge or strong hiding place. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. And that was kind of the one of the verses that kept coming up with that city of refuge. And I'll get into it a little bit later, but who are we running to? Are we going when we have those moments, and are we going into those city of refuge? Are we going to Christ when we're having our struggle? Before we are like caught by the avenger of blood and trying to plead our case, Are we going to him and finding that place of refuge and strong hiding place? Because sometimes when you hear a hiding place, you're like, you're a chicken. You know, you should get those boxing, you know, gloves out. Let's fight this out. I'm going to prove my point, and I'm going to make my statement across. And sometimes God's like, no, just find your strength in me and let me fight your battles for you. And so one of the thoughts was that we think that of salvation, you know, when he talks about, for everyone who is called on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's Romans 10:13. And when, you know, usually when you hear that, you think of somebody was saved, which is true, but it's not always that we're not just saved and we're like, okay, I'm done with life. We don't always see the level of salvation. I know for me, I grew up in the church, which I'm very thankful for. I had a good upbringing. Seth might think it's a little strange upbringing, but he's probably right. But, you know, we did all right. You know, I felt like I never really walked away from God. And so it took me a while to realize what I was saved from, that I was a prideful, sinful, broken person, that I had anger issues. I had just allowed other people to influence my emotions and just all these different things. And I didn't realize how ugly the sin was in me until I got older, where you have those moments where you're like, well, that's not good. You can't hide that angry anymore. You know, you, and I know some of you have, most of you have kids, some of you don't, but you have those conflicting, you know, might be a coworker, and they, you know, I know we've talked about like the bumping beads, that something comes out of you and you're like, well, that it's because they made me, they brought that out. It's like, no, that was already there. And so sometimes even as a righteous person, it's God's righteousness that we put upon us. There's still that stuff that you battle, and that are you going to him to take care of it, or are you just suppressing it and just ignoring it? Because eventually you're going to have to be accountable for that. And then we're going to move to Golan. And this one was like, this was beautiful to me. It was painful as well. And it's called, it was their captivity, there's a comma, their rejoicing. I'm like, how am I going to share that one, God? Because that doesn't make sense. Most of us aren't really like, woohoo, we're captives. You know, like, that. I don't understand this. And I prayed about it, and I felt like the verse fell in my heart. And you know, like, when you're like, all right, I feel like this is the verse, and you look up, you're like, that chapter doesn't even exist in this book, God. Like, how did I miss that? And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I just really hope that this is you, because I just didn't know where to look. And in Hebrews 11, it starts at 38, and said, the world was not worthy of them. And it was talking about those of faith before us and how those who faith counted, their faith counted them as righteousness. And so we go back to that righteousness again. And so it says, the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were with the Father. They are with the Father. They were all commended for their faith, yet did not receive what was promised, who is Jesus. God has planned something better for us so that together with us, they would be made perfect. And I thought, wow, that it was humbling, because sometimes when I was reading, if you want to read later or earlier in that chapter, it was talking about how these people were murdered, they were hunted, they were beaten. All these, and which I know some of it is happening around this world right now, but overall they were highly persecuted. And the part that I thought was beautiful, and it kind of broke my heart, because I felt like I could feel what God, just a sliver of what God had, the world was not worthy of them. And it kind of made an inner, you know, inner perspective question of, if I am living that life to say this world isn't worthy of that because of who Christ is in me. And it's not because of me, but it's because of Christ. And so I just want to encourage you guys to take those captive, you know, the thoughts captive, those emotions captive, the negative things, and put those at the Jesus's feet. Because really it's his ability in us is what makes us have the ability to rejoice and to have that strength, and that his plan is made perfect because of who he is through us. And so I want to move to the Avenger of Blood. Now, I didn't have a picture of the Avenger of Blood except for the Lego guy. So we might skip that. Now we hear the Avenger of Blood, and that sounds very kind of dark, kind of it's aggressive. But there's actually 33 passages of which Goel, is how it's pronounced, is applied to God. And so I was like, well, that's intriguing. So why would that be God? Why would that be Jesus, the Avenger of Blood? But also the other name for it is Kinsman's Redeemer. I'm like, that makes a little more sense. You know, we talk, you hear about Boaz being the Kinsman's Redeemer and how Jesus is our Kinsman's Redeemer. And the verse that I felt like kind of wrapped that up, and I feel like it's kind of one of God's favorites, is John 3:14-18. And it said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so much the Son of Man be lifted up." And I don't know if, I think most of you know about the serpent. When they were getting struck, they put up the serpent to look on and they would be healed. Well, then they started worshiping the serpent. And it's like, who are you? You know, are you following the healing? Or are you following the Lord? So it's reflecting back of keeping your eyes, which was mentioned earlier, on Jesus. So it says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God," John 3:14-18 again. And so I want to kind of go back a little bit on the city of refuge. God established this because he knew man was broken. He knew that they couldn't do things right, to be honest. So he put in the kinsman redeemer, who he was the one who was like the older person in the family. They took care of, you know, the weaker ones. They would go on for if somebody, you know, they needed to get property, or there was obviously like this, for blood, if somebody killed their relative, they were the ones who took care of everybody. And so he had to do that to have that sanctity of life, because man didn't treat life as important. He treated it as, you know, what we do now is probably almost worse than what happened then. And so there was all these different balances of things. And I really felt like, you know, it's amazing how Jesus, he is that city of refuge. He is that kinsman's redeemer. And yet he still had the authority to punish us. So he was as the elders. He was, you know, he is this all wrapped in his arms. Like, he could control everything, and yet he lets us be a part of that. He wants to influence our lives in the greater way. He could have just wiped us out by now. But yet he has such mercy and compassion for us that he wants more for us. You know, we've been hearing a lot of wonderful messages. It was about the, you know, being the pipes of God. You know, are we being open and used by him? You know, God and money. You know, who are we serving, God or mammon? And allowing God to use our resources. What's your plan? You know, are you willing to be put out of your comfort zone? And really all of this, and really the gospel, is where are we putting our trust? You know, are we putting our trust in what we think we can do and go as far as we can, push as much as I can do by myself, and then, okay, God, I need you to fill the gap. You know, it's like, well, I'll do 80% of the work, and then, God, you can do 20% of, you know, whatever's left. And really what I feel like God is saying is that he is all-sufficient. He said that he is the great I am, which means there is nothing that he is unable to do. But how are we allowing him to do that in our lives? Is he our redeemer? Is he our refuge? Is he our, our safe place? I know we've heard a lot about, you know, having a safe place, and most of us kind of inward groan, like, really, guys? You need a safe place? But are we as Christians someone's safe place, where if they're struggling, they know that they can come to you? Because it's not us who in our strength, but we are able to show that, You know, are we that strong shoulder? Can we build that fellowship? Are we, you know, are we that rejoicing and that joy and that peace because of who Jesus is? So sometimes it's God's telling, reminding us of who he is and who he needs to be in our lives. And sometimes it's us remembering that we need to be that example to others. Sometimes God, I feel like he's been asking, you know, are we putting him at the forefront in our lives? Is he at the wheel? And when I think of a wheel, I'm not just talking about, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. I know I've heard that song so many times. I'm like, okay, we get it. But I'm thinking of a ship, you know, and it has that little tiny rudder. So those decisions that you might just make a decision on your own, you're going that direction that God is calling you. And it's not so much of, I mean, it is about God's plan for your life, but what is the best scenario for you? Is it mostly God or all God? You know, what is, do you want to go 100% or, okay, we'll go 80%. And this is not a condemnation. It's an encouragement to say, wait a second, I don't have to try to make all these decisions on my own. God's been showing himself faithful, which he, forever, for our lives, but also just recently, just with all the craziness that's tried to stir up, and I could feel anxiety trying to build in my heart, and it's like, I'm going to cry out to God, and it's gone. Sometimes it doesn't want to let go. Sometimes you're like, okay, you just, you know, you need to pray through that and allow God to work in you, but I feel like sometimes he is our AAA. I have a problem, God. What's your problem? Okay, well, I'll come take care of your flat tire, and which sometimes we try to fix ourselves. And recently we saw, I think it was a dump truck on our way up. He doesn't know I'm looking at him. Seth's like, what? Now he's paying attention. No, we were going to get tractor parts, and there's this truck that he explained the wheel and the I don't remember exactly how it worked. It was more work than just putting a tire on. And you know, you had both sides. And I mean, those wheels were just shaking. And I thought, I'm really glad that we're not staying behind them for too long. Because sometimes we try to, we're like, well, I got the wheel back on, let's go. And everybody else can see that you're a train wreck. You're like, I'm doing fine. And you're like, do I want to approach that? Sometimes God wants to bring us correction through others. And sometimes it's through people that we're like, oh, I don't know if I want to hear from you or not, because you know that they're going to tell you the truth. But that's those the people that you're like, okay, I'm going to accept that from them. But that can be a refuge too. That can be a safe place. Is going, okay, I'm going to have open ears to you, Lord. I'm going to say, I don't know what I'm doing. And even if I think I know what I'm doing, you have something even better for me. So I felt like James 3, I didn't write it down here. I printed it off, but it was speaking on the tongue, and it also talks about the ship and how the tongue can be so blessing, but mostly curses, and it brings not so good things with it, and how it can be a fire. And really, I felt like it said, are you standing in the fiery blazes that your words are kindling? Or are you speaking with tongues of fire where the Holy Spirit can move in your life? Are you speaking life over your family? Are you speaking life over your job? Are you speaking life over your situation? Are you allowing God to give you the words instead of going, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to be angry and frustrated? Or in those moments go, okay, Lord, you give me the words to speak. And it might be an internal thing. But the Lord desires for every one of us to live a life that's not weighed down by struggle and sin that so easily ensnares us like a muscle cramp in a marathon. I know there's a few runners. I've tried to run, but sometimes it goes okay, and most of the time I'm like, okay, that was enough. And, you know, it's like those muscle cramps. We get caught off track and that we forget that there's a race that we're in. You know, this is a marathon of life, and how we want to crawl to the side and give up sometimes. I know that oppression likes to visit any moment that it can. Anytime that the enemy can get you distracted off of God, and most of the time it can be on our own fault of, well, I must have messed up so bad that that's why everything is going wrong, or everything is going wrong. You're like, you don't go to the one who could correct it for you. And we get so frustrated. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit sees us in our weakness, that we're not alone in it. And he wants us to call on him, and he can work out that pain by giving us that living water, stretching us and helping us regain balance to continue on. When I was feeling like, I was thinking about the, you know, hearing God's voice, because we're doing the Bible study for the women's about discerning the voice of God. And, you know, sometimes it's that, I think I heard something, but I want to make sure it's you, God. Sometimes I feel like I put the wool, like, okay, is it wet? Then I'll go. Or, you know, you don't want to test him. But something that reminded me when I was younger, we had woods in the back. And so we would go and we'd play. It's, I don't know if I'm about a mile away, maybe a little less. And you'd hear something, we'd stop. Mom's whistling. She can whistle. I won't demonstrate because, for one, I don't know how. So blessings for you. But also, it was just that whistle that, you know, can carry for miles. And sort of like, oh, Mom needs us. We better go. And sometimes if we weren't sure, we knew that we better go check. Just in case, because if we didn't, she was, I mean, it would be okay, but but we knew that the reason why she was calling us in wasn't because she wanted to take our fun away or because she had something else for us. And so sometimes I feel like that's what we do with God is, you know, it might not always be a bad situation that we're in. Sometimes life can be really good, and that's fine. That's awesome. If God has you in a peaceful rest right now, thank the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. But yet he might still be calling you to something else. So always having that tentative ear, just because something hasn't changed or something big isn't happening, doesn't mean that God's not speaking to you. He still wants to have that conversation with you. So going to him and finding that source. I felt like I should share a part of my testimony of healing. And it's very personal, so I don't share it with everybody because it's like, okay, that's, you know, taboo, so you don't talk about it. Now everybody's, now I got your attention. No. let's see here. So about 8 years ago, after I had Layla, I had menstrual issues. And I was having cycles twice a month. And it was very frustrating. And I went to the doctor, and they're like, well, you know, we'll see what we can do. And you're like, yeah, I know what you're going to do. There's this little pill that they're going to give me, and I'm going to have to be on it. And I'm like, I started it for a while because I'm like, well, what are you supposed to do? Yes, doctor. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know, you just do what they tell you to do. And I started taking the medicine, and I'm one of those people that besides blood clots and dying, I get most of the issues that come with medicine. So I'm like, one ibuprofen, I am good. You know, I don't need to take a whole bunch. And so I was already probably a mess enough because, you know, having two little kids. And so that's probably like, oh my gosh. But I'm like, this is not working. And so I went to my refuge. I went to my kinsman redeemer. I went to my, you know, I went to the Lord. And I prayed, I don't remember how many months it was, because I got off the medicine, because I'm like, I can't do that. That's worse than, I don't know, I just couldn't do it. I was so frustrated, but I'm like, Lord, I'm going to keep coming to you. I'm going to keep coming to you, because you are my healer. And so I was healed. I've been healed, so it's been a little over 7 years. And now I still have, it's called polycystic ovary syndrome, which is like an umbrella term of, we don't really know what's wrong with you, but you have some issues, so we're going to give you this medicine. And so it's like, well, that's encouraging. So I still have some symptoms of that. And, you know, at first I'm like, Lord, couldn't you just take it all away? But yet, because I have some of those symptoms, I can thank him every month. Thank you, God, for your healing. Thank you, God, that you... I don't want to thank him for all, because I'm like, I'm really okay if you take away everything. But at the same time, I'm thankful for that, because so easily do we forget those times that God has brought us through. How many times do we forget that, you know, that he was that strong shoulder? I remember when my grandpa passed away, immediately I went, I mean, I was with Seth, but I went to the Lord. And it's not a, like, good job. It's more of like, I know I'm weak, so I'm going to Jesus. And he gave me something that I could never explain to that blessing. You know, he gave me a vision. And that's not to say, oh, look who's spiritual. It's like, maybe I was just that desperate at that moment. And it wasn't so much of that. I mean, I was close with my grandpa, but it was something different. It was something deeper. Something that I was going to miss because I wasn't living in the area and the time. And, you know, just all these different times of, you know, when you feel out of place, you know, you don't find that source that God gives you, says, I'm with you. You know, is he your hiding place? And so there was a song, okay, it's going to date me, of course. I love DC Talk. Seth kind of groans. He just, I mean, the girls and I listening to it, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not going to show you my moves because you'd be jealous. No, I'm just kidding. Very much kidding. But there are songs I feel they are very straightforward. You know, there wasn't as much coding of messages in it. They're just going to tell you what they think. And so that's one of the things that I loved about them. They're bold in their ministry. But one of the songs, before the song plays, is called What If I Stumble, is the name of the song, which correlates with this. But it says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips when they walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Do we believe that far of who Jesus is in our lives? Can he raise those dead things to life that you're struggling with? Can he be that guide that you're like, I don't know which direction to go, Lord. And sometimes it's just being quiet. And that's hard for me. Ask anybody in here. It's like, I want to hear what you say, Lord. What are you going to say? Okay, God, do you want me to look at this? He's like, shh. Just be silent and go to him. But he has so much more for us. But if we're not willing to be that example to those around us, you know, to hide our lights in our houses and go, okay, this is just for us. This is just us. Is he stirring in you that reaching over to your neighbor? We have new neighbors. Still haven't been over there yet. It's a little convicting right now. Thanks, God. But are we willing to get uncomfortable to show Jesus, to show that city of refuge? Because really that's why we're here still. God would have pulled us out by now if we weren't supposed to be here to be that city of refuge to those around us. And it's not that we have to do it on our own or by our own wisdom or our own strength or our own righteousness. It's his. We just have to be willing, obedient, and ready to go, being willing to have that answer. So it looks like, because I talk fast, if I slowed down, maybe this would have went a little longer. But I want you to keep looking for those Easter eggs scripturally. Because really, what I shared with you is not because of any of my theology, because, you know, I don't have a degree or anything like that. And it's not earth-shaking. It's things that you already knew about Jesus. But, you know, we're just discovering more of God. Because there's nothing new of God. Because it's already there. It's just for us to uncover. You know, God is so much bigger than what we give him credit for. The creator of the universe desires to be my friend. It's crazy. He desires to be that source that we need when we're feeling alone and isolated. He wants to be that friend for us. So if you have some battles that have shown their ugly head, remind those battles who has the victory. That's what our word for this year is, victory. And honestly, flesh-wise, we're like, well, I don't feel very victorious, Lord. But yet, through our weakness, he is made strong. He's known as his strength. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Do we have his joy? I'm thankful that I have his joy because I don't think I want to be around me. So as we finish up tonight, that was part of the reason why we had the prayer time at the end. Because I feel like it's a time of crying out to God. You know, prayer is just speaking to God, you and him, and if you want to have somebody join you. Because if we don't take that time, even in this, you know, this house of prayer, if we're not going to take that time here, are we going to be willing to reach out to somebody and pray for them in the street? You know, are we going to get filled up here? I think most of you do try to find that quiet time with the Lord. And, you know, there's some times that are better than others. But God wants you to find that safe place in him so that you can be that safe place for somebody else. You know, to let go of that condemnation. You know, we are, the accusation of the enemy is constantly coming, and it's going to keep getting stronger. The world sees us as hating them, and I think that unfortunately they might be slightly right by some Christians, but we need to show them that we don't hate them, that we do love them. We don't love the worldly things, but that they are made in his image. So I know that's taking a little different direction than even I thought it was going to, but are we willing to put down our pride and our and what we think we got things figured out and cry out to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, what wayward ways are in my heart? Because nobody's perfect, as much of us try to pretend that we are. So if we could have the elders come down, elders' wives. I know we're getting done early, but that's okay. Maybe we'll have a longer prayer time. I'm good with that. That we're going to be able to cry out to God. And if you have somebody, if you want to come down and get prayer for something specific, altar's open. It's not a scary place. Sometimes it's just us stepping out of our comfort zones and going, okay, Lord, I'm going to approach your throne boldly. Maybe you need to step in a place for somebody else. But just be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to move you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are not held accountable for the past because of the righteousness that's put on us because of your blood. Lord, that you could justfully take our lives right now because we have fallen short, but because of your mercy and your love, Jesus, you came down and sacrificed yourself for us. Lord, we thank you that you have a bigger plan that we can't even see right now. Lord, that these cities are just another foreshadowing of who you are. Lord, that you have greater things coming. Lord, you said that in the last days you would pour out your spirit upon sons and daughters. Lord, that the early, they would be greater things than even the early church where their shadows healed people. Lord, that the earth shook as they worshiped you and praised you, and that the Holy Spirit filled them. Lord, I ask for that here. Not for signs and wonders to ooh and ah, Lord, but that there would be power and life brought forth, that your mercies would be able to be shown forth, that this darkness that tries to cover even this town of Mexico or Audrain County, Lord, that it would be lifted, that your name would be lifted high, Lord, that the darkness would not be able to encroach upon our hearts and in our lives and relationships and with our families or our workplace, but Lord, that we would be the light, that we would break the darkness, or that there would be healing in lives, God, that this would not be the end, but this would just be the beginning here at Victory. That your word would go forth and not return void. That your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we would not try to follow our own paths and direction, Lord, but that you would be our city of refuge, God, that your life would be shining through us. Lord, and during this time, I pray that you would give us boldness to step out and ask so that you may be given glory for it. Lord, that we wouldn't try to just figure things out on our own, but that we'd be able to step out, Lord, and give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name.